today on Real Radio.
We are waiting for Jesus to return, and that's the question tonight. Are you waiting for him and him alone? Are you living for him to return? Is that your fuel in your tank, so to speak?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What Are We Waiting For? Part 2 continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah was God's prophet in ancient Judah between the years of 740 and 700 BC. Isaiah brought comfort and truth to the Jewish people, but he was also God's voice of judgment when they refused to turn from their sins. The book of Isaiah, by the way, has the most quoted verses in the Bible when it comes to the birth, the life, and the death of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah's prophecies go far into the future when Christ returns in the second coming. In Isaiah chapter 25, we learn that there are some things we don't have to wait for. We can experience them right now. But there are other things that we do have to wait for, and it's all about the anticipation of God's promise of a real, honest-to-goodness model world, where our praise and worship to a faithful God will become even more precious. Now in part 2, we'll continue to wait for the second coming of Christ and his 1,000-year reign here on earth. So today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we're waiting for the full and total salvation that comes when Christ returns. The body, soul, and spirit will be made new into his glorious body. We wait for Christ and him alone, and we'll find joy in his coming, always being ready because he's coming when we won't expect him. And now, in his lesson called What Are We Waiting For? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Man, we could end this study tonight and just hover right here. How well should you and I know the Bible? Enough to detect when Satan prostitutes it and brings it to us half truth. He takes the truth and he perverts it and makes it now a half truth, which a half a truth is what? It's a lie. Wow. How much we need to know the word. He says, verse 7, Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Verse 8, and again, the devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. So Satan was able to produce some sort of a dream or vision in front of Jesus' eyes. And look what he says, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Okay, do you think that's freakish? I think it's incredibly perverted. I can see in my imagination Satan at this moment almost drooling with a little glee. He's hungry. He's tired. I think he's going to slip up. I think we got him. And then he starts thinking, if you just bow down and worship me, that's what he wants. That's what he wants. Do you know, listen, he is so messed up that the Antichrist, remember, he's going to possess the Antichrist. And when he possesses him, the Antichrist will be a man talking, speaking to nations. And Satan will be leering out through his eyes, peeping through the man's eyes. And when the world bows to give the Antichrist accolades, Satan is so perverted that that's close enough to him. He's just, yes, yes. The world is bowing to this man and Satan's possessing him. They're not even bowing to Satan, but he'll take it. Oh, if you just bow down and worship me, I'll give you. Isn't that sick? All of a sudden, worship should be much more precious to you because Satan hates it. Listen, you want to drive demonic powers from your home? Worship the Lord. Listen, with all due respect, I was going to say, put on Christian music. Don't put on Christian music. Put on worship music. Worship the Lord. And listen, Satan hates it. He can't handle it. He freaks. He can't handle that. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled, they can't understand it. It is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Notice what the issue is. Satan has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers because the issue is Jesus is the image of God, should shine upon them. I'm going to give you some scriptures here. Write them down. Ephesians 2:1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Wow. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles or unbelievers walk in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness, or with greediness. Man, you read about that and you begin to ask or think this question, how close are we to seeing the very best thing happen? Things are weird in the world, people. Weird like never before weird. Are we seeing signs of his near coming? I believe so. Romans chapter 1. Am I going too fast? I have to. I'm almost out of time. We have to go fast. Romans 1:18. But God shows his anger or wrath from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Wow. Verse 21. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Have you ever noticed that? People who reject God's existence, have you noticed how their logic, they'll deny faith in God and they'll say God doesn't exist, but they believe that aliens created this world. These people are actually educated. They may be educated beyond their intelligence, but they're educated. They've got degrees. Smart people. They deny the existence of God. Listen, when you deny the existence of God, you'll believe anything after that. Verse 22, claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles, carved images. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God into a lie or for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself. Does that happen today? Who is worthy of eternal praise? Amen. Verse 26. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. Verse 27. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves. Internally, by the way, the Bible here in Romans is saying inside of them, something happened. The penalty, what happened was the penalty that they deserved. It happened inside. Something happened inside of them. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking to let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip.
They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning. Wow. And they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them also. Romans chapter 1. Does that sound like the age in which we live in? This was written 2,000 years ago. Sounds like the newspaper. Fourth argument found in verse 8. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for the full and total redemption that comes when Christ returns. Verse 8, he will swallow up death forever. That's awesome. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people, that is the Jews, the rebuke of his people, he will take away from all the earth. Anti-Semitism, hatred for Jews, God's going to remove from the earth. That's a demonic spirit, by the way, you guys. For the Lord, that is Yahweh, has spoken. So sin has blinded the human race. That's very clear what the scripture says about that. But listen, total redemption. What are we waiting for tonight? What are we waiting for? See, Jack, how does this apply to us? Tonight, absolute total redemption. How could that be tonight? Very quickly, you guys, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. What is total redemption for us tonight? I don't want to wait for the second coming. Is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. Listen. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Now, you know that, right? You've been redeemed, right? You've been redeemed. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Yes. When I say total redemption, what do I mean? Well, look at your body. You're born again on the inside, but your body has not been redeemed yet. Just take a smell. We need to be redeemed here. In body, total. Body, soul, and spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The word means to be changed anew, changed into what he has intended. That's going to happen. How does that happen? When is it going to happen? 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Next verse, Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait. Listen, do you eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our vile body that he may conform it to his glorious body? Are you waiting for that? The benefits of waiting, by the way, listen, we're almost done. The benefits of waiting, Colossians 3, verse 4 says that when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him. It means to be united to him. When Jesus comes in the rapture, in the atmosphere, you're going to go to him. If it's tonight, you go to him. I hope it's tonight. I hope it happens before the heat wave hits next week. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And here's the point, that everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. That's the return of Christ for us by faith. And I'm going to finish this, verses 9 to 12. It's the fifth argument. It's the final one. We're waiting for him and him alone. What are we waiting for? What are you guys waiting for? For Jesus and for Jesus alone. We're waiting. How so? And it shall be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. That's the cry of the Jew. Technically, write it down in your notes. Verse 9, this is what the Jewish people will announce at the second coming of Christ. But we're not the Jewish people. The Jewish people are the Jewish people. We are the church tonight here. Yet the same truth applies to us this way. We are waiting for Jesus to return, and that's the question tonight. Are you waiting for him and him alone? Are you living for him to return? Is that your fuel in your tank, so to speak? Watch out, Christian. Watch out. If you are being tempted, oh, there's so much time. We've got so much time. Jesus warned. He says, don't say that to yourself. Because when you say that to yourself, the Lord's not coming back for a while. Jesus says that those who claim to believe in me will one day say, hey, it's going to be a while. I don't think he's going to come back soon. And Jesus said, those who hold that view begin to loosen their grip on him, and they begin to embrace the things of the world. They begin to get bogged down in the affairs of this life and with partying and with carrying on. And they begin to, Jesus says, they begin to mistreat people. They begin to become lackadaisical about his return. Don't do that. The fact of the matter is, way back when, Enoch, in Genesis chapter 5, Enoch, think of that. Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God. He loved God. Him and God talked all the time. I don't know how that happened, but they walked and talked. And the Bible says all of a sudden one day, Enoch was no more. And the word is God took him, vanished. The word means in the Hebrew, God lifted him up. It means to be taken away. So what does that mean? It means God took him away. Enoch was raptured. It says he never died. Enoch never died. Isn't it funny? Enoch's son was Methuselah. How long did Methuselah live? Everybody should know this. 969 years. And then Methuselah died, but his father is actually the longest living guy. Methuselah was the longest living guy on earth, but his dad outlived him. How's that? His dad walked with God, and all of a sudden, he was gone. Taken away. Gone. God took him. Did God say he's going to come back and take people up like he did Enoch? It's going to happen. Dr. Charles Ryrie says the Greek word harpazo, or rapture in Latin, is derived in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. We read it a moment ago. Translated in English as caught up, has the same meaning. To snatch up or to take away. To take up and away. Elsewhere, it is used to describe how the Holy Spirit caught up Philip near Gaza and brought him to Caesarea, Acts 8:39. It is used to describe the Apostle Paul's experience of being caught up into heaven, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2 to 4. Thus, there can be no doubt that the word as it appears in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 makes it clear of an actual upward removal of the church from off the earth and it be taken to heaven. The rapture of the church. It's going to happen. And I end with this. Jesus said in Luke 12:35, let your waist be girded. That's a term in that day. Be ready. Get your belt. It means take your robe, pull it up a little bit, like half of your calf. Pull up your robe, tuck it under your belt, pull it tight, because you got to be ready to go. It's the same word that was spoken to the children of Israel in Egypt. Get ready to go. Have the Passover, but get ready to go. Jesus said, church, this is what I'm telling you to do. Pull up your robe a little bit, tuck it under your belt, cinch it, be ready. Are you ready? He went on to say, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find them watching. Are you watching? Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Are you ready to meet him? I don't believe. Ooh, you're not ready. Maybe tonight. Are you ready? Father, we thank you. We thank you that what we're looking at here in this tremendous chapter is your restoration to the nation of Israel. You'll lift the blanket of demonic, dark strongholds on the hearts of men and women around the world. That will be broken. Satan will be bound. Christ will be enthroned in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. That will happen. It's going to happen. But for us as the church tonight, today could be our day. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that we as a church, every Christian in the hearing of my voice, all of us would be ready to meet you. We'd check our pulse, as it were, spiritually. If we're dabbling in things we ought not, we'd just depart from that now. If we're somehow embracing something we ought not, that we would get away from it now. We get ready. And Lord, tonight, if there's somebody who's not a Christian, that they would choose you tonight. That they would move from the ranks of being those that are doomed and destined, that their feet will someday slip. The wicked will have their end. But tonight you might say, I don't want to be in that camp. I want Jesus Christ. Then my friend, whoever you may be this night, you put your faith in Jesus who died on the cross for your sins, everything that you've ever thought and done in life, your very, very existence. He died to redeem you from this world and to give you a brand new life if you'll just repent. The word repent is agree with God that you've sinned against him. Agree with him quickly. Come to the foot of the cross, as it were, and say, Jesus, forgive me. I've sinned against you, Almighty God, Prince of Peace. Come into my heart. Change my life. For I tonight embrace your teaching, your word that says that you died for me and you rose again from the dead for me. You're God, and you paid the debt I could not pay. You trust him tonight. At the end of this song tonight, if you're making that request, there'll be Bibles up front here at the stage, and you grab these Bibles and you begin reading. You begin reading in John's Gospel tonight. You go through the DVD that we've provided in that little Bible. You watch it and listen. But some of you tonight need to make the break with the world before it's too late. His ship is about to set sail, and he wants you on it. The ticket has been bought with his blood, but you need to receive it from him. I pray you do that tonight. Father, bless your people. Lord, the remainder of this week, may we walk in power to proclaim you and to live for others. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What Are We Waiting For? Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. And you know, our hope is that God will strengthen your heart to keep waiting and to keep watching for the Lord to return. What Are We Waiting For? Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the book of Isaiah can be a hard one to follow, especially if you've missed any of the episodes here on Real Radio. So if you're wondering how to catch up, we've got good news for you. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab that says Listen. Once there, you can start listening to the most recent episodes, or you can go all the way back to the beginning of our series on Isaiah, with titles such as Government God's Way, or When God Restores, and Being Right with God. You can catch an episode you might have missed, or you can simply review as you go along. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Listen tab. The Isaiah Sermon Series is there for you. It's all in order from the most recent episode. You may have to wait for the latest one to upload, but keep on checking. It's well worth the wait. You'll find that all right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.